chapter 2 of Yeshayahu. You will recall that at the end of last week's shiur, we read the first few psukim in chapter 2, which are, of course, the famous psukim that are emblazoned on the... I like that word. Not a good word. That are emblazoned on the Isaiah wall at the United Nations. And these are the famous words of real peace. And it says, HaDavar Asher Chazo Yeshayahu Ben Amoz Al Yehudah V'Yerushalayim, that which Yeshayahu the son of Amoz saw with regard to Yehudah V'Yerushalayim, V'Hayon, it will come to pass Ba'acharit HaYamim. Now very interesting, the word Acharit HaYamim, the end of days. So Rashi says, Ba'acharit HaYamim La'achar She'yichlu HaPoshim, after the sinners will be destroyed. The Radak says, "V'hoyo ba'achat hayamim kol makom shenema ba'acharit hayamim hu yimot hamoshiach." Wherever it says, "acharit hayamim," it is the days of Moshiach. The Malbim says, "Ba'acharit hayamim, the end of days, biyimei hamoshiach." The Mitzudat David says, "Ba'acharit hayamim, biyimei hamoshiach." That means we have the Mitzudat David, the Radak, the Maharal, the Malbim say clearly Yemot HaMashiach. Rashi seems to be a little not as precise as them, but he says when the sinners will be destroyed from the face of this earth. The Daf Mikra, the Mosavar of Kuk Perush says, Ba'acharit HaYamim, the end of days, B'yamim Ha'atidim, in time to come. They're also not, for some strange reason, they're not ready to say necessarily Yemot HaMashiach. And they say, V'chein l'fi pshuto shel mikra, the simple meaning of the pasuk, pshuto shel mikra, ba'acharit hayamim ha'amur eitzel Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov gathers his children together and he says, listen, my children, and I will tell you, hey, osu v'agid alachem, Asher yikre etchem, what's going to happen to you, v'acharit hayamim, he means in the future. It does not necessarily have to be specifically Yemot HaMashiach. But it would seem that, listen, there are those who say that acharit hayamim, remember we had a number of them who say acharit hayamim means Yemot HaMashiach. Then again, Yemot HaMashiach is something, of course, that requires some kind of definition. What's called Yemot HaMashiach? For example, the Gemara says that b'shishit, in the 6th year there will be milchamot, and b'shviit, in shmita, ben David, the son of David, will come in the shmita year. And the 6th year during which there is war is also considered, as the Gemara says, Milchama nami, war also, atchalta de'geula, is the beginning of redemption. In other words, the period of redemption includes not only the final coming, so to speak, of the Mashiach, but also that which is around it, that which leads directly up to it, and that may very well be war. Anyway, v'hayov acharit hayamim, nachon yiyah har beit Hashem berosh haharim, the mountain of the house of God will be established. Nachon means established firmly, berosh haharim, at the head of all mountains, berosh haharim, meaning of course that it will be the most important of all mountains. It doesn't mean that Har HaBayit is going to become Everest. What it means is it will be the most important of all mountains. V'nisom mi givaot, and it will rise above the hills. Now I want to point out that in these few psukim, we're going to have all sorts of synonyms, and we have to be able to differentiate between the two. And most of the mafarshim say, of course, that the difference between harim and gevaot, mountains are taller than gevaot. In other words, when we talk about harim, we talk about rosh harim, the tops of the mountains. Gevaot, hills, have to be raised and uplifted. The nisomikvaot, the naharu elof kol agoyim, and all of the nations are going to... all of the nations are going to flow toward that mountain. V'holchu amim rabim, and many people will go. So now here we have another The other synonyms, we have goyim and amim. Now, what's the difference between goyim and amim? This, the Malvim had told us earlier, I think I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, huh? I did? That goyim, he says, goy represents a people who are united by virtue of four. You have to see if I said the first year. That there are four ingredients that make up a goy, and that is the geographic location, they're in one place, the language that they speak, it could be family relationships, and also the fact that they have agreed to live together as a group. Am is always defined by its leadership. They may be people who have absolutely nothing in common, but what does unite them is they have a common leadership. So he says, V'naharuel of Kol HaGoyim. Kol HaGoyim obviously represents people from all corners of the world. V'holchu amim rabim. Amim rabim means the leaders of many nations will lead their people there. V'amru, when they will say, L'chu, let us go, v'na'aleh, and we will go up, El Har Hashem, to the mountain of God, El Beit Elokei Yaakov, the house of the God of Yaakov, V'yoreinu midrachov, v'neilchov ba'orchotav, Derech and Orach. The difference between Derech and Orach is a Derech is a wide highway, and an Orach is a path. I would say an Orach could be an Orach could be something that we would call in Hebrew also a Shvil. A Shvil? Huh? Who said? Yes. As distinct from Derech. Derech is Autostrade. Understand? That's a Derech. And then Orach, for example, there's a Sefer, and it comes from a Pasuk in Mishlei, I believe. Orchos Tzadikim. Right? The path of the righteous. Even though there's another word for path, and that is Mesilah. Mesilah. Mesilah Kishonim. As soon as I said the path of the righteous. But then there's another Sefer called Orchot Tzadikim, so that must be the path Allah of the righteous. You see, there's of course a difference between Yoreinu and V'neilcha. Yoreinu is God, and this is a very important distinction. Yoreinu midrachav, God is going to teach us the major highways. You know what that means? He's going to tell us the principles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have to tell us every last detail, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But if we have the broad outline of what is the will of God, if we have the major principles of goodness and justice and morality and ethics, then we will know already what path to go into. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to tell us precisely every step of the way, do this and don't do that. We have to have the intelligence that after Yoreinu, he teaches us midrachav. He gives us the general large principles, the great picture. Then we will know already, v'neilcho ba'orchotav, we will go in his paths, we will know exactly where to go. By the way, let's not forget for a moment that the ones that are saying this are the nations of the world, this, not the Jews. And do you know who says the next few words? It's the Goyim. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. From Tzion shall come out Torah udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. The Goyim are saying this. I can imagine them over here as they go up to Harabayit singing Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. A bunch of Goyim are going to sing Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. By the way, in a little sense, we see it with all of the Christian groups that come here that are more Zionist than the Jews and some of the Jews, more religious than some of the Jews. Of course, the difference between Torah and Dvar Hashem is obvious. Torah is law, Dvar Hashem is prophecy. Vayehi Dvar Hashem, the word of God came to such and such prophet. Or, what was the beginning of this chapter? Hadavar Asher Chaza Yishayahu Ben Amitz. Dvar Hashem is the word of God that appears to the prophets. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Everybody flowing, all nations of the world, all great leaders, all flowing toward Zion. By the way, here too, there's no question about it that Zion, and not only in the last few weeks, but Zion has been a focal point of the three major religions of the world now for a long, long time. So that Zion is the focal point, I mean, what Yeshayahu said 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, is absolutely true. The Shofar Bein HaKoyim, this is already the more difficult part. The Shofar Bein HaKoyim, God is going to judge Bein HaKoyim between the nations, V'holchiach La'amim Rabim, and he will admonish many people. Who is the Shofet? Who are they talking about? The real Shofet over here is Mashiach. It's referring to Mashiach. The Shofat, he is the one. The Shofat Bein Hagoyim, the Hochiach La'amim Rabim, and therefore the Chitetu, the famous Tzukim, the Chitetu, Harvotam Le'itim, and they will beat their swords into plowshares, the Chanitot Tehem Le'mazmerot, and their spears, Mazmerot, Etaka, pruning hooks. Remember, we learned about Shemitah. One of the prohibitions in the Shemitah year is lo tizmor, you shall not prune. A chanit is used, the chanit, the spear is turned into that which prunes. Lo yisav goyel goy cherev, v'lo yilmedu od milchama, no nation shall lift up sword against nation, v'lo yilmedu od milchama, they will no longer need to learn the art of war, because here is the great Mashiach who is going to bring in fact is going to bring peace to the face of this earth. It means that highly unlikely that we will achieve Pasuk Dalet on our own. Highly unlikely. There's going to have to be a great leader, a gore great leader. But he's not the one. Our latest report is that it's Bush. It is Bush. Okay. All right, Lieberman will make a Mishaberach this Shabbos for Bush. Okay. What difference does it make? I don't know. Okay, we'll see. We need to have a show. Beis Yaakov, now, those of you at the Chumashi yesterday, you will recall the statement of our rabbis. I learned a statement of our rabbis. Beit El Harabayit is called Bet El, and Omar Rav Elazar says, why is it called? Why in this pasuk in Yeshayahu, in pasuk Bet it says Nochon Yehar Beit Hashem Berosh, the pasuk Gimel, when the nations will say V'nala Har Hashem El Beit Elokei Yaakov, why not Elokei Avraham and Elokei Yitzchak? So the Gemara says that Avram Avinu called that place Har, mountain. Yitzchak called it Sode, field. Yaakov called it Bayit. And that's what it's going to be in time to come. Sode, we described, Har and Sode represent that which is either ephemeral, non-permanent, temporary, but Bayit represents absolute permanence. Beit Yaakov, Lechu V'Necho. Let's go. Beit Yaakov, Lechu V'Necho, let us go. Ba'or Hashem. Huh? Yes, Beit Yaakov Lechu V'Necho, well, that's where the Biluyim, who were the settlers of the 1880s, took it from Beit Yaakov Lechu V'Necho. Rashi says something very fascinating, and it's a shtickle disturbing to me. Who says Beit Yaakov Lechu V'Necho? Who's the one that says, huh? The Goyim tell the Jews, let's go to Yerushalayim. and the Hashan den Acharpa. Rashi says, Ha umot yomru lehem, I'm quoting Rashi now, the nations will say to them, Ken so, v'amikra hazehu musaf al v'hoch amin rabim, this pasuk is going back to v'hoch amin rabim, many nations are going to go and they're going to say, let's go up to the mountain of God, the house of the God of Yaakov, and they're going to say to Beit Yaakov, the ones who are the children of our Elokei Beit Yaakov, they're going to tell them too. As Achil El Hashem, I can't imagine. Goyim are going to tell us, Beit Yaakov, Lechu V'Neilcha, let us go Be'or Hashem. Lechu V'Neilcha, Be'or Hashem. The Malbim does not learn the way Rashi does. Except in a certain sense. He says, Beit Yaakov l'chu v'neilcha, house of Yaakov, let us go. It's not the Goyim saying to us. It's we saying it to ourselves. And listen to what he says. After all that we've learned, Yeshayahu calls to the house of Yaakov, and he says, if so, if the Goyim are going, you go too. V'lindu kal v'chome, learn a kal v'chome, what the nations are going to do in the future. And he's saying, learn a kal v'chomer from that which the nations are going to do in the future and do it now. And you have the light of God shining over you. You don't have to walk through the darkness that nations of the world will have to walk through until they finally achieve the light of God. So how about this little seichel? Don't wait for the goy to come and invite you to Yerushalayim, or don't wait for the goy who will come to throw you out so that you'll have to go to Yerushalayim anyway. So while Rashi learns lechu v'neilcha, yes, are the goyim saying it? God, come on along, come. Yeshayahu, according to the Malbim, is saying, listen, let's be smart. The Mitzudas also says, Beit Yaakov hanavi mizarzam. It is the prophet who encourages them, lomar, to say, Hoil v'chein yiyeh, since this is the way it's going to be, Nilchon avar Hashem. That's going to be the end anyway. You know what? It's always good to get on the bandwagon before the bandwagon is bandwagoning. No, it's to be ahead of your time. Ultimately, that's what's going to happen. If that's what's going to happen, so do it now. From here on and further, all of chapter 2, a great deal of chapter 3, is going to be talking about, well, one serious failing of the Jewish people. And it would seem to be, in chapter 1, Yeshayahu speaks to Yehuda of Yerushalayim, and in very general terms, he says to them, general and specific, he says, do tshuva l'chunov and ivachacha, and he tells them, listen, you have to make up, you have to judge the orphan, and you have to take care of the almana. He tells them you have to correct your conduct bein odam lechavero. You just haven't been doing the right things. Who needs your sacrifices? Your sacrifices are unacceptable before me. Your Shabbos, your Yontav, your Rosh Chodesh. But he has not defined where does it all come from. Where did Israel go wrong so that they sinned? Behind every sin, there has to be some motive, some character trait, some flaw in personality. What is it? It's not simply, it doesn't work that way that simply one gets up one day and starts sinning. There has to be something in character and personality. There has to be some kind of an idea in the head that gives one either the courage or the push or the pull to do an avera. So he's going to analyze that. It's going to be a little, frightening. Kinotashto amcho Beit Yaakov. You have forsaken your people, the house of Yaakov. God, you have forsaken. Rashi says, this is the Navi speaking to God. Notashto, you have forsaken Amcha Beit Yaakov. You know that word is used. I don't know if they ever use it anymore. I don't think they would. You ever heard the term Rechush Natush? Oh, because you're a real estate agent. This is Eichmann Realty over here. Rechush Natush, the property that was left or abandoned by Arabs who were kicked out of the country by the imperial Zionists, right? So that was called Rechush Natush. The government took over that which had been forsaken. So the Navi says, you have forsaken your people Israel. And Rashi says, and some of the other Farsim say, listen, I understand why you did it. I understand why you forsook them. Why? Ki mol umi kedem. They were full of all sorts of sins, more than the people of the East. The people of the East were those who were involved in sorcery, in magic, in idolatry. Mol umi kedem. More than those of the East, yes. Not at all. There's only one place where Beit Yaakov refers to one, only one place in all of Tanakh. You like that broad statement that I made, you know? All of Tanakh. When before Maimed Har Sinai, the Sar Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Kotoma le Beit Yaakov v'tageid levnei Yisrael. So you shall say to Beit Yaakov, and you shall tell the children of Israel. So Rashi there says that God is going to give Torah is Tomar. Amar is always softer than Tagid. So to whom do you speak softly? You speak softly to the Beit Yaakov, those are the women. The Tagid, and talk in stronger terms, Livnei. So that's the only place. All over Beit Yaakov is exactly what Beit Yaakov is. But I think most probably in our days we have difficulty even thinking of Beit Yaakov as meaning other than girls wearing blue uniforms, right? But Beit Yaakov is the house of Yaakov. That's all. That's what it is, yes. Well, in Bereishis it's called, it's Gan Eden. But it certainly would not fit into the context of it. Mal'uni Kedem, the people of the East. You know who came from the East? Bilam came from the East. The East was a place of idolatry, of sorcery. Ki mal'uni Kedem, v'onenin kaplishtin, one of the prohibited forms of divining is onen. Onen is the one who says this time is good for this. In other words, if you were born on the, if you're a Pisces or you're a Heen or you're a Her, a form of astrology, even more than the Plishtim. Ubiyalde Nachrim Yaspiko. I think at last count I had four Pshatim on Yalde Nachrim Yaspiko. Yalde Nachrim, the children of, I mean, the literal translation is the children of strangers, of foreigners. You can even say Goyim. Yaspiku, read the Yaspiku as though the sin is a samach. They're interchangeable. With that which is born from strangers, Yaspiku, that gets satisfaction, it's enough. Ze maspik lahem, that's tov. Ze yaspik. So here I'll give you the beginning with Rashi. Rashi reads it kipshuto shel mikra. Balim benot akum, they live with shiksis, umit arvim behem, and they become intermingled with them, v'yoldot lehem yeladim, and they give birth to children. Yaldei nachrim yaspiku, literally. For them it's okay that they have a child who is not Jewish. Right? That's one. The Mitzudas David reads Yaldei Nachrim not in its literal sense, but Yaldei Nachrim, that which is born from Goyim, their philosophies, their ideas, their lifestyle. Listen to the words of Mitzudas David. Maspikim atzmam, it's enough for them. Bimachshavot ve'etzot philosophiot. Their thought and their ideas, their philosophical ideas, they are not concerned with the Council of Torah, the Yaldei Nachrim, are the ideas that come from foreigners. Similar is the Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra says, "Masha holidu b'machshava ki ha'emtzei ben shtei ha'machabarot yikron noral v'yaspiku." It means like this. Yaldei means that which is born from two others. It may mean that they intermingle this idea and that idea, and they give birth to their own ideas, and they are not interested in the light of Torah, but Yaldei Nachrim Yaspiku. The Radak says, the Yaldei Nachrim are the books that are written by Goyim. The books in which they express their ideas. Umit askim b'sifrei hakshufim b'anuchushim umaspikim behem. Their books of really nonsense and sorcery, that's enough for them. We'll just say, take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim says, Lotchim Noshim, similar to Rashi, he says they take non-Jewish women, give birth to children from them, and that's enough. Shein Lotchim Bat Yisrael Klal, they're not interested in marrying a Jewish girl. Ubazer Avdu Gam Yichusam Milihikare Beit Yaakov. He says, you know what they're doing by that? I think I once read a Rambam to you, where the Rambam said that living with a non-Jewish woman is worse than with Nida or other Averot, and he says, because even though one would think that, you know, Shiksas, Psalav, not even a lav, maybe it's not a nice thing to do, all that you become is another percentage point in the vanishing American Jew, but he says, because the child is lost forever. So he says that what you're doing is you are erasing Beit Yaakov. He's talking to Beit Yaakov. All right. So what has he done in this passage? You have forsaken your people, Beit Yaakov. And yeah, he gives Kimalu Mikedem three things. Kimalu Mikedem. They're full of the sorcery or the nonsense that comes from the East. You know, today, lifestyles come from the West. In those days, the East was the West, because the cradle of civilization was where Avraham Avinu came from, in other words, the lands between the Tigris and the Euphrates. So if we would say today that, you know, Israel is very influenced by American society, right? I always find it fascinating. You'll go to Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim, you'll find Cafe Brooklyn, Misadat New York, Pahat Los Angeles. Then you go to New York and Los Angeles, and you have Jerusalem Pizza 1 and Tel Aviv Pizza 2. It's something to be developed. So in the past, it used to be Mol'u Mikedem Oninim Kaplishtim Ubiyalde Nochem Yaspigo. But he has to explain, why are they attracted to that? You have Chochmas HaTorah. You have great Nevi'im. What is it attracts you to the nonsense of astrology and idolatry? Where? What is there? What is the fascination with it? So he says it's all because Vatimale Arzo Kesef Izov. Money, prosperity, is one of the roots of all evil. I'm not saying the root of all evil, because it's going to give birth to something else, which is the great root of all. Vatimali arzo kesef azov, his land became full of silver and gold. There is no end to the storehouses, to the treasures, tremendous wealth. What did Moshe Rabbeinu warn in Torah? In Torah he said, Vayishman yeshurun vayivot. Yeshurun, Israel, became fat and sated. Vayivot, and he kicked her away. More than that, there's the pasuk in Dvarim where he says, "Hisham elecha, be careful, pentishach at Hashem elokecha, lest you forget God your God." V'rom levavecha. This is going to be an extremely important term. Your heart is going to become high and mighty. You're going to become puffed up with conceit, and then you're going to say, "What is the classic expression of conceit?" Kochi va'otzem yodi also liyabachar lazeh. My strength and the might of my hand, all of this wealth and all of this might, this is mine. Understand? They know that we are the mightiest power in the Middle East. They know that we can crush them like a bunch of mosquitoes. Everybody knows it, except the mosquitoes. Watch. His land became full of silver and gold, and there was no end to his storehouses. And his land became full of horses. Horses, of course, represents the idea that they were doing business with Egypt. The horse also represents strength. We say it in davening every morning. Lo bigvuras hasus yechbat. God does not want the might of the horse. Vein keitzel l'markavot hav. Since he has so many horses, there is no end to the number of chariots, the might, the wealth. Yes, the merkava. The merkava. There was most probably a merkava that was parked in Gilo. And it scared the wits, I tell you, out of the whole world's a tzitzit gevachim, from the tank that was sitting in Gilo. Do you know one thing leads to the next? Because of the great wealth, then vatimalei arzo elilim, his land became full of idols. Lemaasei yadav yishtachavu, he bows down to that which his hands made. La'asher osu edzvotav, to that which his fingerlock made. And I have said this time and time again, it doesn't at all have to mean that he has his little palm idol. No, it's a modern terminology we have, you know, a palm idol. Just put in a few numbers and out comes your idol. They are overly impressed with that which they have created with their own hands. They are full of conceit because of what their fingers have fashioned. And here we're going to see it more clearly. The evil for which there is no greater is conceit. In Talmudic literature, it's gaiva. The Rosh Rabbeinu Asher wrote a brief treatise, things that should be said every day till they get into your head. L'hitrachek min ha-ga'ava b'tachlit harichok. Remember, there was a time I tried to work on it, I gave up. Said it time and time. L'hitrachek min ha-ga'ava, to stay far away from conceit, b'tachlit harichok, as far as it can go. Because conceit is absolutely destructive, and we're going to analyze the extent to which it is destructive. Chazal, our rabbis, speak at great length, and here about the evils of conceit. Remember, there's only, the Rambam says, there's, while by all other character traits you have to find the golden mean, there's only one where you have to move off center, and that's with regard to conceit. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Ma'od, ma'od, have a shval ruach." Very much be, in a sense, humble in your own eyes, because the one who's conceit is the root of all evil. Money, of course, feeds and fans the flames of conceit. A person who has money thinks that he's taka smarter than everybody else. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar was a classic example of conceit. And by the way, in Yeshayahu, we're going to see it in Yeshayahu, in Yecheskel, and other, Nebuchadnezzar felt ani va'afsi od. I and everybody else is nothing. Paro in the Mitzrayim said, Li Ya'ori Vani Asisini, the river, the Nile is mine, I made it. Conceit is destructive. What was it that brought the downfall of Korach? Korach's downfall was the result of conceit. He saw himself as the leader of the Jewish people. What do you mean I was overlooked? Why am I not the prince of the tribe? Oh, you're going to rule over us? Conceit can also very well means that Pasuk in Mishlei, Chua Berov Yoetz means salvation comes if you have advisors. You know, you don't make decisions yourself, between you and yourself. Chua is Berov Yoetz. What about somebody who's going to make decisions all on his own, without taking into consideration others? Or those whose policy is, we know what's best for the people, and we will therefore provide. You poor slobs and schnooks out there don't know what's good for you. Conceit, and watch how the Navi is going to talk about the evils of conceit. Now, money is one of the ingredients that takes somebody who may be naturally inclined to conceit and makes it a great deal worse. Vayishach Adam, Vayishpal Ish. Vayishach Shach means to be pushed down, lowered, or Vayishpal, to be shafel. You know what God is going to do? Both Adam and Ish. And there are different in the Mepharshim. Adam represents the masses of people. By the way, they too can be conceited. The average man in the street can walk around thinking, and it's amazing, you know, people can think that they are God's gift to mankind, and they really believe it, you understand? Only the guys are nothing, but he doesn't see it that way. Ish always represents the elite. Now, the word elite in and of itself already represents a group that feels that it is the repository of all truth and of all wisdom, and that conceit is not only destructive for those around them, it is destructive for themselves. Vayishach Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayishach, the Malbim says, represents an inner humility. Vayishpal represents, you know, in fact, being externally bowed and bent. Internally and externally, God is going to bring down the conceited. Chazal say, Kol hamizgo'er, whoever is conceited, ki'ilu oved avodah zarah, it is as though he worships idols. What did our rabbis mean? The person who is conceited sees himself as the center of the entire universe. There is no place. There is no place for anybody else in that universe. The Gemara expresses it in another way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the person, and it's a pasuk in Mishlei, that God cannot tovat Hashem, an abomination before God is gevalev, a person whose heart is conceited and puffed up. And he says, Ein ani v'hu yecholin lodur b'kfifa achad. I and he cannot dwell in the same area. We can't take up the same space. Why can't we take up the same space? Because he takes up all of the space. He sees himself as the be-all and end-all of the whole world. And he therefore destroys himself, and he destroys those around him. Vayishach Adam, vayish palish, ve'al tisalahem. Rashi says, Al tisalahem, I know that you will not forgive them. Did somebody say, Lo nislach, velo nishgach? You will not forgive them. And Yeshayahu understands why you will not forgive them. Al tisalahem comes from the word, we have it in a number of places, in the Yud Gimel Midos, no say of on God who carries sin be over al pesha. Or what did Hashem say to Cain? Lama chora apcha nafla panecha. Now, if you will, I know the whole pasuk and I can't remember the part of the pasuk I want to say. You know the Lepesach Chatas Rabbeinu pasuk over there? Doesn't that starts with Yehoshua? Anyway, believe me, in that pasuk twice it says that if you will do good, you know, you will be Esa, I will carry your sin. Or when he is cast out of Gan Eden, it says Godol Avoni Minaso. My sin is greater than I can carry on the soul, meaning, is it that great that it cannot be forgiven? Va'al tisolahem. The Navi says, you're not going to forgive them. Ah, so you know what you're going to do? Now he speaks to the people, and he says, Bo Batsur, come into the rock, hide in the cleft of the rock. V'hi tamein be'afar, and hide yourself in the dust. Mipnei pachat Hashem, before the fear of God, who may hadar ga'ono, and from the majesty of his greatness. Huh? Now he's talking to the people. He's talking to the sinners, huh?
I said I did over top of the nation.
Yes, yes, he's speaking to the people, right? In other words, the people, the sinners. Now watch this. These words, Mipnei Pachar Hashem, Umi Hadar Ga'ono. Watch those words. And I think the Tomein Ba'afar, isn't it Avram Avinu? I think it's in this week's Seder, who says, Va'anochi Afar Va'efer. Avram sees himself with such humility, I am dust of the earth. He Tomein, hide yourself, Be'afar. Learn, you know. Yeah, in a sense, it's all in order. It's to humble themselves. To humble themselves, yes.
And if the people are so conceited and so arrogant, how is this message going to influence them?
I have a feeling that's why the Navi is saying, don't forgive them. They're only going to learn. They will only learn when the punishment befalls them. They will only learn. Hopefully, they will learn. When did Moshe? What are you referring to? Well,
they think you're going to happen. I know you're going to do wrong.
Yes, you're going to say we and our leadership should have learned already, beginning with Yom Kippur War, from Yom Kippur War and further. Yom Kippur War, obviously, the sin of conceit was the clear cause. Whenever, I mean, even yesterday, when I hear the word svirut, I begin to. I'll explain. Leah, I wouldn't let this pass without explaining. It was used yesterday by Mofaz when he said that there is svirut, there is a probability of war in the north. Svirut. Now, a week before Yom Kippur, the vaunted intelligence agencies of the State of Israel reported to the cabinet, yesh svirut nimucha, very low probability of an attack. That's it. You had to be blind. Who was it? It was Zoreya or one of those. He was the head of Amman, head of intelligence. Svirut nimucha, low probability. Not an attack. What do you mean? Everything's staring in the face. We knew already that Nasser had 100,000 men in Sinai. We knew that there were tank movements on the Golan Heights, no less than 2,000 tanks. They make a shtickle noise.
I was standing on the bar left line with my 8mm
camera
kind of filming that I was coming up to the bar.
You were filming it the year.
A year before.
Okay. And they had. Why did they say that there is low probability of an attack? Because it couldn't. It simply didn't occur to them. You're going to try and attack the great, mighty Israeli army of the Six-Day War, Mishugoy? So therefore, it was Svirut Nemucha. It was one of the classic errors, is not the word, one of the terrible mistakes in military history. as great as the victory in the Six-Day War was, the intelligence reports before the Six-Day War were simply, they were out to lunch. And even
Yom Kippur War.
And there were fellows who were sitting by their machines and they were tracking everything, and they were saying you have to call up the reserves. No, but Friday afternoon they said you have to do something. Nah, they're not going to attack. It's a garnish. They're just movements and hang and hell. This was, you know, when we're talking about conceit being destructive, we have to see it in our, thank you, we have to see it in the real living world. We're not talking about just some kind of a Musa book. We are suffering from it every day, up until today. Let's go further. Einei gavhut adam shafel v'shachrum anashim. The eyes of people who look high. Now, so you know, we have this picture on Shali, that's the picture that the Navi has before him. You know, somebody who walks with their nose up in the air doesn't even look at the common folk around. Those eyes have to be brought down. And because their eyes are up in the sky, you know, their nose is up, they don't see what's taking place ahead of them. Einei gavhut adam, the eyes of the conceit of men, shofail, will be lowered. V'shach rum anoshim, and he will bring down the rum. Rum levavcha, Moshe speaks a number of times. Ki yorum levavcha, your heart is going to become high and mighty. It's a song. It's in Davin Rosh Hashanah. Yes, isn't that fascinating? Most of the Tanakh that we know is from the songs. And I think we have to thank every new singer who comes on the scene, because he has to find a new pasuk that nobody ever made a song to and da-da-da it, so we learn a few pasukim, you understand? There's only one thing you have to be careful of. In a lot of the songs, they take the liberty of artists to leave out psukim. They leave out words. And we end up learning the psukim in a completely wrong way, and I'm afraid that even the father of Jewish music, Allah Haben Alichtige Gan Eden, did that also. There are psukim. Start being careful with the songs that you're saying. Yes. You know, I'm being very nice today. Maybe because I'm going to chutz, sorry. Go ahead. What do you want to know? Yeah, because I still have time. There are three ways in which man relates to God. The highest, of course, is Ahavat Hashem, love of God. Very few people achieve that. To be Ohavai. Who are Ohavai? Those who love me? Who have Ahavat Hashem? Elu sheyoshvim be'eretz Yisrael u'mosrim nafsham al ha-mitzvot ha-Ramban in Pashat Yitro that I learned last week. That's what the Ramban says. He brings Rabbi Natan and says, who are those who love God? Elu sheyoshvim be'eretz Yisrael, those who live in Eretz Yisrael. U'mosrim nafsham al ha-mitzvot. And I had said that there should be a semicolon there. Ohavei Hashem are elu sheyoshvim be'eretz Yisrael. That's all. Okay. So one of the ways in which we relate to God is through love of Hashem. That's the highest madrega. That's the highest level. But then there's also Yirat Hashem, there's fear of God. And fear of God can take two dimensions to it. It can be the fear of God's punishment, or it can be the fear of God's awesomeness. There's Yirat HaOnesh, fear of punishment, and Yirat HaRomimut, the fear of the exaltedness of God. You know that you are in the presence of an almighty God. Those are two completely different things. One is very inner directed and one is very selfish. Yirat HaOnesh, listen, I don't want to be punished, so therefore I fear God. You know, he's bigger than me. He can cause all sorts of terrible things to happen. But then there's a fear that is rooted in a knowledge of how awesome God is. God forbid that I should go ahead and do something that does not find favor in the eye of God. Pachad Hashem. Fear of God means the fear of His power. Umehadar Gaono means the beauty of His majesty. Two different kinds of fear. One is a very practical one. He's bigger than me. The other is, he's more exalted than I. One is Pachad Hashem, and the other is Hadar Gaono. What is the first level in the Aseret, in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Uvechein tein pachdecha Hashem Elokeim. Uvechein tein pachdecha, that's number one. And then, of course, there are going to be uvechein tein, you know, uvechein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. In other words, there are those, the simplest level. The one that we ask for first is pachad Hashem. Fear of God, fear of His power and His might. And the other is Hadar Gaono, the fear of His greatness. Yes?
With the prophet himself,
it's
referred to God that way because
it's
an elemental fear that
he has. Oh, you asked, did you ask a good question? Yes, very good question. Not easy to explain that why the term Pachad is used over there by Yitzchak. Could I have time to do real homework on that? That's not simple. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu there is referred to as Pachad Yitzchak. That's later on in Sefer Bereishis. I have to, alright, okay, I'm passing on that right now, rather than just trying to give an answer off the cuff, and you know, I can talk myself blue in the face and you may think that I know what I'm talking about, but I am in a humble mood when I learn this chapter. So I have to take a look at the go ahead. No, I wouldn't. I'd get rid of that picture. I'd get rid of that picture. Because there is, because and I truth is that I led you there because I said Nikdat Hatzur, I said the cleft of the rock. Alright, let's Kiyom Lahashem Tzvakot, let's hear how he there's a day. Hashem Tzvakot, you remember last year we said Hashem Tzvakot always means the power, the might of God that punishes and wages war, because there is a day set aside, Hashem Tzvakot, al kol ge'everam, on every conceited and high-minded person, al kol nisa, and everybody who raises and uplifts himself, and you know what's going to happen to all of them? Shafel. They're going to be brought down. And now watch how he's going to keep this up. When I tell you, he keeps this up, and you're going to see how terribly important it is. Valkol Arzei Halavanon. All the cedars of Lebanon. Now, of course, cedars of Lebanon is a metaphor. Rashi says, Dugmahu al Hagiborim. The ones who are physically strong, or the ones who lead mighty armies. Haramim, huh? Imbarazim naflashal habit. The Erez represents might, strength. And he's going to come down, I'll call Arzeal of Anon, Haramim, those that are raised, Vahanisayim, and uplifted. The Malbim says, Haim hamit nasim bimalat atzman. Those who raise and lift themselves or are so impressed with themselves. Bechokhma, in wisdom, o toar, or in their looks, the koma, or their height, those who are so impressed with themselves, ka'arozim, like the cedars, shekvohim ba'atzman, v'alkol aloneha habashan. Aloneha habashan are smaller than arozim. The aloneha habashan. All right, I'll use what did I say? The terebinths? Isn't an alone really an oak? An oak. They say oak? Good. And God is going to come down on them. You'll see how. V'alkol ha'horim ha'ramim. V'alkol ha'giva'ot ha'nisa'ot. Again, we have harim u'giva'ot. Where did we have harim u'giva'ot before? We had it at the beginning of the chapter, that Har Tzion is going to rise above the Harim and the Kvalad. He Harim ki v'simcha teitzeyu u'v'shalom tuvalun he Harim v'hagvaot yiftzachu l'fneichem lina. Harim and Gvaot here also represents the high and the mighty. But what's that? Is that a what is that, a book? Well, I didn't say the bold and the beautiful. The brightest, right? Ba'al kol harim adamim, ba'al kol ha'gva'ot ha'nisa'ot, and all of the raised mountains and the gva'ot. And by the way, the word nisa was used with regard to Giv'ah before. It's amazing. Where is it? In this chapter. Every tall migdal gavoa, every tall tower, all of these represent in one way or another, they all represent conceit. Every fortified wall. In other words, the sense that we can take care of ourselves. We have the watchtower, the migdal. We have the choma around us. Valkol oniyot Tarshish, all of the boats of Tarshish. The boats of Tarshish are those that brought expensive goods. You know, the Titanics of old. Valkol sechiyot hachemda. Sriyot Hachemda are flooring. Tiles? Who? Planks? I thought Sriyot is something that plank sounds like wood, right? But I think Sriyot was like a mosaic. Did they say mosaic? No, it's the one who floor like the belt of Nishgazen. Sriyot Hachemda. Rashi says, pelted in palaces, ritzufin, that the flooring is bimaskiot, ritzpat shayish, shayish. We call everything shayish. In the old days, shayish was shayish, marble. Come over, Evan, maskit. Why is it called maskit? So Rashi explains, because maskit comes from the word sukkah, that which covers the floor covering. V'shach gavut ha'adam, Hashem is going to bring down the haughtiness of men, v'shofel rum anashim, and he will lower the heights of men. V'nizgav Hashem levado bayom ahu. You will see this now is repeated, this is for the second time, it's a refrain. It's a watch. Wait till we see all the refrains. Refrain from saying anything until we see them all. This is a v'nizgav Hashem levado bayom ahu. On that day, v'nizgav Hashem levado, v'ha elilim kolil yachalov. The idols will pass from the scene completely. Yahalof. Gonna pass from the scene completely. All would be lost. Upo ubima'arot tzurim, ubim b'chilot afar, mipnei pachad Hashem, umei hadar. Go now. Refrain again. Come, go into the caves in the stones. You know, what he's describing is that the Yom HaDin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is finally going to come down on the conceited, it's going to be a frightening, frightening day, and you're going to have to run for cover. U'bo'u kam b'ma'arot tzudin, in the caves of the rocks. U'b'michilot afar. Michilot afar are the tunnels that are dug into the earth before the fear of God. U'me'hadar ga'ono b'kumo, when he arises, La arot haaretz, to crush the earth. Arots is the word from which we get a tyrant is an aritz, not to be mistaken with Arutz Sheva. An Aritz is a dictator who is Oretz. Crushes. Rashi says, Lishbor, to break. Rishay Aretz. The evil. Bayomahu, on that day, Yashlich Ha'adam, a person is going to cast away at the Lilei Kaspov, at the Lilei Zahavov, his idols of silver and his idols of gold. Asher Osulo, those idols that he had made to him. And remember again, it doesn't necessarily mean that he made idols out of the gold. He made the gold an idol. I believe it's, who is it? One of the Rishonim in the Aseret HaDibrot, when he talks, I think it's maybe the Halshech or one of the others, who says, Onochi Hashem Elokecha is the first of the Aseret HaDibrot. Lo yiyel l'chol lehim acherim al panai, there shall be no other gods before you. So he says it would seem to be that the second of the Ten Commandments has disappeared from the earth. Who has elohim acherim? So he says, elohim acherim? Money. Power. How many times have I quoted the Rav who said that in the 20th century men worshipped the most dangerous idol of all? He worshipped himself. Man became the idol of the 20th century with his knowledge and with his technology and with his science and with his discoveries in medicine. He will resolve all problems. We don't need anything. And man, with all of his intelligence and all of his discoveries, turned the 20th century into the worst century in all of world history. Because the idol was man himself. Therefore, Elilei Kaspov, Elilei Zahav, how many times did I tell you what the Chof said? The tragic mistake of American Jewry during the Second World War is because we had faith in Roosevelt. Man never has the right to have faith in any human being. You may have confidence in a human being, but you cannot have faith in a human being. That was a main, an idol, like he will resolve all problems. On that day, man is going to cast away at the Lilei Kaspo, the idolatry of his silver and the idolatry of his gold, Asher Osulo, that he made for himself, Lishtahavot, Lachapor, Perot, Vola Ataleifim. Very difficult few words. So let me take you slowly. I think I'll start with the Mitzudas David. Lachpor peirot. The Mitzudas David says, it comes from the word chafirot. That's a word that we know. Chafirot are excavations, that which you dig. He says, you'll take your idols, and you know what you'll do with your idols? You'll throw them into places that you have dug. Musav al nilat yashlich lova ha'elilim yashlich el ha'chafirot ha'amukot v'lo ataleifim, and where the bats fly. In other words, those caves, you're going to take them, throw them away. Get them out. Get rid of them. The Rashi says, Lachpor Peirot, that they had idols that had the form of Chapar Parot. And Chapar Parot, a certain kind of creepy critter that they turned into to an idol, huh? What does your English say, Masha?
It's a species of rodent which dug the earth.
A species of rodent with a mole. So, one shot in Rashi says that these idols that looked like these moles or bats, you're going to throw them away. Rashi's second shot is, similar to the Mitzudas David, that he's going to take those idols and he's going to throw them into places that he had dug or places where the bats fly around. He's going to get rid of them. Lavo b'nikrat hatsurim. Lavo b'nikrat hatsurim, and you know what now man is going to do? He's going to go into the cleft of the rocks, u'b'si'ifei haslaim. Si'ifei haslaim, sort of the little spaces between the stones. He's going to have to find a place where he's going to be protected, because the awesome might of God is coming down. Mipnei pachad Hashem, umehadar ga'ono bekumo la'arot haaretz. The third refrain. There were three different refrains, but two of them have the words mipnei pachad Hashem umehadar ga'ono. And then, of course, the obvious way to end this, and I think this may prove what we have been saying all along. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam. You know, stay away from man. You know, stop already this reliance on men. Could it be, the non-intellectual, except when it says ha'adam. There's a difference between Adam and ha'adam. Ha'adam means mankind. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam, asher neshama b'apo, who has life in his nostrils, ki b'men nechshavu, because what is his value? No, what he's saying is the following. The real idol is man. Either man who serves himself because he sees himself completely out of proportion to what he really is, or the one who looks up to his leader, oh, he's going to take care of everything. Oh, with his background, you think he doesn't know? Of course he knows. But he knows so much more. He knows so much more, therefore he can make decisions that we can't make. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam. Leave man, because what is he? He has an neshama in his, which means that he's here today and he's gone tomorrow. You have to be able to look at man in his natural height. You can't take human beings, and by the way, this is I think a problem we all suffer from. We're always looking for heroes. There are moments at which we need heroes. We need to feel that there's somebody's minding the store. Somebody really knows what's going on. Somebody's giving us guidance and direction. And then we go ahead and we create what may very well turn out to be idols, useless, valueless. Chidlu lachem min ha'adam. This is, do you know what kind of a message this is? Can you imagine Yeshayahu standing on Ben Yehuda, in the middle of Yerushalayim saying this? Do you know what the Attorney General would have to say about him? This man would be locked up forever for incitement. He is really speaking out against the ruling class in Yerushalayim, that the ruling class in Yerushalayim is destroying the people. They are going to enter into all sorts of negotiations. I mean, I'm not saying this just to make it contemporary. We're going to see it. They're going to enter into alliances, they're going to make agreements, they're going to sign treaties, and Yeshayahu is going to speak out against it. And why doesn't the man in the street say anything? Because he has great faith in his leadership. You can't do that. You can't have faith in your leadership. You may trust, you may have confidence, but you always have to question. And the next chapter is certainly going to take us even further in terms of the conceit, the sense of power and wisdom that the leadership of Yerushalayim at the time had that was absolutely destructive to the Jewish people. That's the idol that he's talking about. I always say, we have to bring this message home. It doesn't mean that Jews were walking around and they were getting down on their knees and bowing before all sorts of narvishish pieces of wood or stone. They were doing worse. They were doing much worse. They were bowing down. They were, in a sense, relinquishing their right to think and to make decisions and to speak out to leadership whom they saw as being truly great leadership. All right, I'll say it, and with that we'll close. I think that teacher who did not want to teach the legacy of Rabin was absolutely right. The legacy of Rabin is something that divided the people, and there are those who who disagree with the legacy of Rabin. It has nothing to do with the tragedy of the assassination, but that the schools this week have to teach the legacy of Rabin. The legacy of Rabin was born in great controversy, and the controversy persists until today, and the legacy seems clearly to have been a terribly mistaken and a wrong one. But there were those...
Isn't it
a mistake to not be able to admit when they're wrong? That's the worst conceit. I'll tell you right away, Jesus. I say in Sefer Bereshit, the greatest person in Sefer Bereshit, and for that reason becomes king, is Yehuda. When he says, as Tamar is being taken out, he says, Tzadka, she's right, Mimeni, I'm the one. Can you imagine what courage, what strength, what honesty that required? And then on the other hand, do you know who I see as the antithesis of Yehuda? It occurred to me after I said the Shirin Parashat Noach. Rashi says that when the rain came down, when it came down as rain, Vayihi HaGeshem, the rain was on the earth. And then later it says there was a mabul. Why? So Rashi explains it because God brought it down as rain. In the event that they do tshuva, it will become, Rashi says, Gishrei Bracha, rain of blessing. If they don't do tshuva, it will be a mabul. I'm trying to imagine. The waters are up here already. Rabbeinu Da'alma Kula, admit that you made a mistake, do tshuva, you still have a few minutes in which to save yourself. Can't do it. They'd rather die than do it. Can't do it. It's unbelievable. And this, of course, points out how much greater is Yehuda, that he is able to say, yes, I'm guilty. That's not a simple thing to do. So, yes?
Keeping the legacy of Rabbeinu doesn't mean that he's right.
No, that's not what they mean. That's not what the Ministry of Education means. A legacy is something that belongs to you. A legacy is something that you have to embrace. A legacy is the great gift that he left for us who are left behind, orphaned without him. That's what a legacy means. That's right. And to pass on this legacy, I think I'm not making a mistake when I think that that's the meaning of legacy. Legacy is not simply we're going to learn his opinions and then we're going to say, but the man was a thick mishugana. Yes?
In this morning paper, they said they wrote that the Civil Liberties Union is fighting for the teachers.
Yes, shocked me.
I'm very pleased.
Yeah. But let me... Yes, they hold that he has a right to the thing. But there's no question. One thing is certain. In this chapter and in the next chapter of Yeshayahu, he's going to get to the very heart of what it is that's behind sin. And it's going to be one thing. Conceit. Gaiva. And well, all right, it's coming. Next week I won't be here. So it's in American universities, they have a reading week. You have a week off to read. There are those who go skiing on reading week. I look forward to see you next.
Have a good trip.
Yeah.